What in the world is compunction of heart? Well, stick around and you're going to find out on this episode of the Gary Zimek Show. Here we go. Compunction of heart. It sounds complicated, doesn't it? We're going to talk about that on this episode of the Gary Zimek Show. Welcome to the program. Have a seat. Make yourself comfortable. I'm so glad you could join me for another episode of the program here on Blog Talk Radio. Today is Wednesday, January the 20th, and we will look at the Mass readings from the second week, the second Wednesday in Ordinary Time, which is what we celebrate today, duh. And we're also going to look at, on our regular My Daily Bread segment, we'll look at what compunction of heart is. Now, I know it sounds complicated, but it's a really important concept. It's a word that you may know if you're my age or a little older, but if you're younger, you might have no idea what this is because the word does not get used very often anymore. So we'll talk about what that is. How are you? Everything good here with you? Let me tell you something. It's a little exciting here where I live in South Jersey. We're expecting a pretty big snowstorm this weekend, and I'm just going to see what happens. Now, the good news is I don't have anywhere to go. We're all in the house. I have no speaking engagements this weekend. I have no traveling. Eileen and I are going to make sure we have plenty of food in the house, so we'll be all set. I hope wherever you are that you'll be safe as well. And when we pray today, I want to pray for the people who are headed down to Washington, D.C. for the March for Life this Friday. The storm looks like it may hit in the D.C. area right around the time of the march. And that's really sad. That's very difficult to be stuck in those kind of conditions. I know for a fact that the D.C. area is not well equipped to handle snow, so it could be a difficult time for them all. So let's pray that the snow will hold off for the March for Life. That's such an important thing. Let's see what else we have going on here. The Lenten Radio Retreat. If you go to my website, followingthetruth.com, you will now see a banner for the Lenten Radio Retreat. Just remember that all you need to do, there's no need to sign up, but all you need to do is get yourself a copy of Rediscover Jesus by Matthew Kelly. You already may have a copy of the book. You can do that by going to his website, dynamiccatholic.com, and then you will be all set. We begin on February the 10th right here on the program, and sometime prior to that date, which is Ash Wednesday, I'll be doing a show to talk a little bit about what you can expect for this Lenten Radio Retreat. It's all about rediscovering Jesus, and I think that's a great theme. I'm excited. That's my personal mission this year, is to grow closer to our Lord, to become better friends with Him. And I have the new book coming out, Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps, which, by the way, can now be pre-ordered. So if you're interested in ordering a copy, it should be out in a few weeks. Amazon is reporting February the 26th, I think. But according to the publisher, I heard that it should be in their offices sometime by the end of January. So I would expect sometime, maybe early to mid-February, the book should be released. And I'm really thrilled to start speaking more about it, so that I can help you and all the people that I go out and speak to have a closer relationship with Christ. That's my goal. But remember, at the same time, I'm working on that relationship too. I want to continue to grow closer to our Lord every day of my life. And I want to help you to do that as well. So you can look for that. Let's see, what else do we have going on? Nothing else that I can really think of. I hope you got a chance to. Oh, you know what? Let me share this with you. I was on the Sunrise Morning Show. You can see I don't script out a lot of this program. I fly by the seat of my pants. I let the Holy Spirit lead me wherever He wants to take me. Today, I shared a verse on the EWTN Radio Sunrise Morning Show. And it's a really neat verse, one that I had never run across before. I was looking for a verse, and I think it was last week this one hit me, and it's really powerful, and I would like to send this out to you, especially if you're struggling with any kind of financial difficulty, because this is a verse that you need to hear, and you need to remember this. This is from the book of Sirach, which is a book that we don't use too often, at least I don't use it too often, but there are some great nuggets of wisdom contained in this book. Sirach chapter 11, verse 21. Now listen to this. Trust in the Lord and keep at your toil, for it is easy in the sight of the Lord to enrich a poor man quickly and suddenly. That's Sirach 11:21. Trust in the Lord and keep at your toil, for it is easy in the sight of the Lord to enrich a poor man quickly and suddenly. So what's going on in that verse? Here's what's going on. The Lord has told us that he will provide for our needs, right? That's a given. He will provide for our needs. Now, how does he do that? He does that sometimes by giving us the common sense and the ability to go out and earn a living. That's one way. Now, he can provide for our material and our spiritual needs, but he expects us to do something. We can't just sit back and say, all right, Lord, bring on the money. Let, you know, provide for my needs. I'm just going to sit back. You'll do it all for me. That's never the way Jesus worked. If you looked at his miracles, he likes to get people involved. He wants them to do something. And even in the gospel today, you'll see, is that today's gospel? Let me check. You will see, I just want to make sure of this because I'm not sure if it was yesterday's gospel. Yeah, you're going to see some examples of this in today's gospel. He expects us to do something. Maybe we can't do a lot, but he expects us to do something. He will provide for our material as well as our spiritual needs. But sometimes what happens is we get confused. We get our needs confused with our greeds. We want things that we really don't need. And that is a challenge for us to differentiate between what we really need and what we want. The Lord promised that he would provide for us. But he expects us to keep at our toil, to keep doing things. So the point of this verse is that it's very simple for God to just snap his fingers and change our, and come to our assistance immediately with everything. And that includes finances. So if you're someone who is struggling financially, keep praying and keep doing what you can. I heard people have told me it's not okay to pray for money. That's nonsense. It's absolutely okay to pray for money. As long as you're not greedy, as long as you're not planning to do nothing for the rest of your life and just have money stocked up in the bank and do nothing, well, then it's fine to pray for money. We've got bills. I've got bills to pay. And the Lord understands that. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says that the Father in heaven understands that we have material needs. And he said he would provide for our needs. He didn't differentiate between spiritual and material ones. So you go ahead and pray for the money to pay your bills. Do your part, do the best you can, and then let the Lord do the rest. This verse reminds us that he can do it in a hurry. And that's what we all need to remember, that nothing is too hard for the Lord. Sometimes we look at him and compare him to ourselves, and we think, well, that's really hard. There's no way he can do that. He can do anything. He created everything out of nothing, including us. And he's not going to desert us. So keep that in mind. The Lord loves you and he will provide for you. Just keep praying and do what you can. Do your best. And as they say, let God do the rest. All right? Trust me on that one. I don't know if you heard that little crash. I just lost my... Oh, man, I'm dropping things all over the place. This is terrible. Good thing you can't see this. This is radio. I just lost my mass readings for today. Anyway, I hope you're a little less confused than I am here. The beverage du jour today. I know that's what's on your mind. Here we go. Yes, it is back. Mystic Monk Coffee. Now, I am blessed because I was able to order some of their Christmas blend before it was out of stock. I don't believe it's still in stock anymore, but I'm drinking some of their Christmas blend. If you are a fan of coffee, as I am, if you like your coffee, I recommend that you try Mystic Monk Coffee. It is literally the best coffee that you will ever drink. And I just got an email from the Mystic Monks, and it says this. As a winter treat, we have roasted some fresh French vanilla. Listen to this. The sweet, creamy vanilla flavor has long been a specialty of ours and is often requested throughout the year. For a great dessert, oh man, I recommend serving it with some freshly whipped cream on top. Whoa! It will only be available until the end of January, so I would suggest stocking up now. If you like non-flavored coffee, we have this outstanding Ethiopia Harar available. I don't know if I'm saying that right, as our coffee of the month. This fine coffee has rich and textured notes of blueberry, red wine, and honeycomb. It's only available for the next few weeks, unless we run out earlier. All right, so that is, they are some of the coffees available from Mystic Monk Coffee. You can purchase Mystic Monk Coffee by going to my website, followingthetruth.com, and clicking on the Mystic Monk image. While you're there, if you're somebody who shops at Amazon.com, you can help me keep this program free and to keep my full-time ministry alive by using the link on my website, followingthetruth.com, every time you want to go into Amazon. Now, I'm not going to talk too much about it because we've talked about it a lot on the show, but you're responding, and I appreciate it. You're doing this, and it really helps me. If you shop at Amazon.com, please just use the link on my website, followingthetruth.com, and you won't miss it. It's on the right-hand side of every page of my website. You'll click on the Amazon image, and that's going to take you right into Amazon, but it flags it as coming from my website, which means that anything you purchase results in a little bit of a profit for me, and that really helps. So if you would consider doing that, bookmarking followingthetruth.com, and remembering that, I would appreciate it. Also, while you're there, if you'd consider making a donation to my work, you can do that securely by going to the Donate tab and either become a monthly sponsor or make a one-time donation. And, you know, you're really helping me, you're sustaining me, and I'm grateful to be here. I really am, and I thank you for all of your support. And if you could spread the word and let your friends know that I could use some additional financial assistance, it would really help me out. All right, thank you so much. Let's see, what else now? Let's pray, and then we'll get right into the Mass readings. All right, and before we pray, let's place ourselves into the presence of the Lord. He's there. He's right here with us. He's listening. He can hear every word that we say. Let's lift our hearts to Him right now and ask Him to help us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we are so grateful for the fact that you have given us another day. We thank you for the many blessings that you continue to shower upon us. We ask you, Father, to continue to guide us on the road that will one day lead to eternal life in heaven with you. We're very thankful for your guidance, for your grace. Father, we ask that you help us to do good, to turn away from sin. We ask that you help those who are sick, those who are lonely, those who are anxious, those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those who are dealing with addiction, those who may be struggling financially, those who are dealing with religious persecution, and anyone who might be facing an extreme weather situation. We especially pray for the March for Life in Washington, D.C. on Friday, Father. We ask you to please let the snow hold off so that the march can take place as planned. And Father, we thank you in advance for all of your answers to these petitions. We also ask you to help us with our own personal needs. And I turn this program over to you, Father, and ask you to speak through me this day, and please open our minds and our hearts so that we may be receptive to your message. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. All right, thanks for praying with me. My name is Gary Zimek. If you're a new listener to the program, welcome. I'm so glad to have you here. There's a chair reserved for you each night, so please stop by again. We've been doing this show for 5 years now on Blog Talk Radio, praise the Lord, now in our sixth year. Every Monday through Friday, the podcast gets loaded up at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, sometimes a little earlier. You can either listen to it from blogtalkradio.com. You can access it through my website, followingthetruth.com, by going to the radio page, or you can download it from iTunes. No matter how you do it, it's going to cost you nothing, totally free of charge. And I'd like to invite you to keep coming back. I plan to be here for as long as I can. And I say this a lot, but I'm very grateful that you have supported me both financially and with your prayers, because you're the reason that I'm still here today. And thank you for that. I'm sure there are some people out there saying, boy, thanks a lot, he's still with us. But you know what? I'm happy to be here. I really am. Because every night we get to hang out around my table. We share a cup of coffee or a beverage or a snack, whatever it is, and we talk about Jesus Christ and his Catholic Church. He has been so good to me, and I'm anxious and very happy to share him with anybody that I can. So I thank you for listening to the program. If you'd like to invite me to speak at your parish, I'd love to do that. You can find out more information by visiting followingthetruth.com and contact me either through the website or email me at gary@followingthetruth.com, and we could set something up so that I can come to speak to your parish. All right, let's do these readings now for Wednesday, January the 20th. The first reading, once again, is from the first book of Samuel, chapter 17, verses 32 through 51. And this is a great story. This is a familiar story, but there's a powerful message here. David spoke to Saul, "Let your majesty not lose courage. I am at your service to go and fight this Philistine." But Saul answered David, "You cannot go up against this Philistine and fight with him, for you are only a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." David continued, "The Lord who delivered me from the claws of the lion and the bear will also keep me safe from the clutches of this Philistine." Saul answered David, "Go. The Lord be with you. The Lord will be with you." Then, staff in hand, David selected 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in the pocket of his shepherd's bag. With his sling also ready to hand, he approached the Philistine. With his shield bearer marching before him, the Philistine also advanced closer and closer to David. When he had sized David up and seen that he was youthful and ruddy and handsome in appearance, the Philistine held David in contempt. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come against me with a staff?" Then the Philistine cursed David by his gods and said to him, "Come here to me, and I will leave your flesh for the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David answered him, "You come against me with sword and spear and scimitar, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, that you have insulted. Today the Lord shall deliver you into my hand. I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will leave your corpse and the corpses of the Philistine army for the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Thus the whole land shall learn that Israel has a God. All this multitude too shall learn that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he shall deliver you into our hands." The Philistine then moved to meet David at close quarters, while David ran quickly toward the battle line in the direction of the Philistine. David put his hand into the bag and took out a stone, hurled it with the sling, and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone embedded itself in his brow, and he fell prostrate on the ground. Thus David overcame the Philistine with sling and stone. He struck the Philistine mortally and did it without a sword. Then David ran and stood over him. With the Philistine's own sword, which he drew from its sheath, he dispatched him, and he cut off his head. Man, that's a brutal story. We all know the story, though, David and Goliath, don't we? What's the message? The message very clearly is, if God is on your side, there's no way that you can lose. To put it another way, if God brings you to it, God will see you through it. No matter what you're facing in life, if God is asking you to do something, if he's asking you to do something difficult, if he hands you a difficulty in your life, some sort of suffering or some sort of a setback or challenge, you could be assured that he's going to be with you. He will not leave you alone. He will not leave you stranded. But so many times we trust in ourselves, and when we do that, we set ourselves up for failure. We think, well, this is all up to me. We forget that the Lord wants to help us. We forget to, like St. Paul, boast of our weakness and say, "Lord, I am weak, and I need your help. We forget to do that. Let's not forget to do that. Let's use this great story as an example of the providence of God, the fact that he will always be there for us. David did what he could. He had a slingshot. He didn't have very much. He went up and he defeated Goliath because the Lord was with him and the Lord was assisting him. He can do that same thing for you if only you'll give him a chance. Continue to turn to him and ask for his help every day with everything. You know, you do your part, but make sure you're always turning to the Lord and asking for his help. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 144, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for battle, my fingers for war, my refuge and my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield in whom I trust, who subdues my people under me. O God, I will sing a new song to you. With a 10-string lyre, I will chant your praise. You who give victory to kings and deliver David, your servant, from the evil sword. Blessed be the Lord, my rock." He is your rock. No matter what you face in life, he's with you. He wants to help you. And if he is by your side, and he is, and you turn to him and you lean on him, you will succeed. Remember that. As you face the uncertainties of your daily life, the reason things are so scary is because you're forgetting about the Lord. That's why we worry. We either forget about him or we don't trust him. Because if we trusted him and if we really believed what he said, that anything that happens to us is happening for our good, then we wouldn't get nervous. We wouldn't worry. We worry because we don't trust him. Let's ask for the grace to trust him more. Let's look at this gospel now. Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Jesus once again comes up against his buddies, the Pharisees. Jesus entered the synagogue. There was a man there who had a withered hand. They watched Jesus closely to see if he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up here before us." Then he said to the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil? To save life rather than to destroy it?" But they remained silent, looking around at them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart. Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately took counsel with the Herodians against him to put him to death. Now, if you noticed, for one thing, the Pharisees, they were out to get the Lord. They were looking for a way to trip him up again. But the Lord knew that. But what I liked, and the point I want to bring out in this passage, is that the Lord asked the man with the withered hand. He asked him to do two things. He said, "Come up here before." So he asked the man to do something, to physically come up before the people in the synagogue. And then he also said to him, "Stretch out your hand." Now, remember, Jesus could heal with the man doing nothing. The man didn't have to do anything, and Jesus could have healed him. But he asked the man to do what little he could, to come up and then to stretch out his hand. And then Jesus performed the miracle. And that's the point that I want to make today, that God expects us to do what we can, even if it's not that much. He doesn't want us to just sit back, whether it's praying about our bills, whether it's praying about a healing, whether it's praying about getting a new job, whatever it may be. He expects us to do whatever we can, even if it's not something very big. He expects us to do what we can. And then he will do the miracle. So always keep that in mind. Don't just sit back. Do the best that you can and ask for help. As long as you do that, the Lord's going to do more than his share. He's going to do the heavy lifting. But you and I, we need to do what little we can. Okay, sound good? Now, let's take a look at the My Daily Bread feature. We're going to once again go to the book My Daily Bread by Father Anthony Paone. We've been using this book for a long time on the show. This is one of Mother Angelica's favorite books. Nice little prayer book. You can still get it from, I believe, either from EWTN Religious Catalog, or you can get it from Tan Books as well. It's a really neat little book. The chapter that we're going to look at today is on compunction of heart. Now remember I said this is kind of an unusual word. It's a confusing word. Let's listen to what this means. And if you've never heard this series that we do before, the first part is written as a message from Christ. It's a message from Christ to each of us. My child, how can any man abandon himself to the pleasures of this earthly life? Such people do not appreciate the miserable condition of their souls, nor the rapid passing away of this brief experience. They do not stop to think and to look beneath the surface of their daily activities. They laugh when they have many reasons to weep. Happy is he who can overcome the distractions which hinder him from straight thinking. As for you, strive to develop within yourself a genuine compunction of heart. Compunction is a deep and lasting sorrow for your sin. So that's what it is. Compunction of heart, it's a deep and lasting sorrow for your sins. It's not a gloomy nor depressing sorrow, but an intelligent admission of your sins and a sincere determination to do something about them. Since compunction comes from a realization of how you have failed so good a God, it brings with it a readiness to accept anything from my hand. Compunction opens the way to many blessings and precious graces. When compunction fills your soul, the world will lose its magic attraction and will become more distasteful to you. Compunction will help you to realize how quickly earthly joys pass away. While eternity goes on forever, you will see clearly that your sins have offended me. One who has genuine compunction is honest enough to admit his sins and is truly sorry for them. His sorrow is proved by his sincere efforts to be rid of his faults. That's the message. Now something to think about. Compunction is a great grace by which God helps me to face the truth about my sins. It also helps me to prove my sorrow for my faults. By compunction, a man begins to attack his faults and to practice the opposite virtues. I can be sure of my sincere sorrow only when I have begun to do something about my faults. Compunction is a lasting sorrow because it is not an emotion, but rather an intelligent admission of facts. It shows me my faults, God's goodness, and my own need to change for the better. Then it helps me undertake the daily task of abandoning my faults and acquiring the opposite virtues. And today we close with the prayer, Lord, I want to live a cheerful life, but I do not want that kind of cheerfulness which refuses to admit the truth. I can admit my sins and still be cheerful as long as I am doing my best to overcome and make up for these sins. I do not want any gift or talent which might make me proud or worse in any way. Not everything that is high is holy, nor is every pleasant thing good. Good desires are not always unselfish. You, my Lord, are not always pleased with the things that we prize. It is far better to have compunction than to be able to talk about it. Grant me genuine compunction, that I may hate my sins and daily fight against them. And this is something that you and I can pray for, the grace to really hate our sins. A lot of times we sin and we don't feel that bad about it. Well, it's a grace that we can pray for. And that grace can help us to strive in our quest for holiness. Okay, does that sound good? So pray for that gift of compunction or genuine sorrow for your sins. Now, God willing, I plan to be back here tomorrow. Tomorrow is Thursday, so we'll do our feature on the greatest stories ever told as we look at another one of the parables of Jesus. If there's anything that I can do for you, always remember, you can contact me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. I look forward to joining you again as soon as possible. Remember that the Lenten Radio Retreat kicks off right here on February the 10th on the show, so please let your friends know about it in case they may be interested in joining us. No need to sign up for anything. The only thing I recommend is that you get a copy of Matthew Kelly's book, Rediscover Jesus. You can do that by visiting his website, dynamiccatholic.com. Again, thanks for tuning in. Please remember, when you're shopping from Amazon, to just visit followingthetruth.com and use the link on my website to go to Amazon. That's going to help me to keep this program free and to keep my ministry going. Would you do that for me? Thank you so much. Have a wonderful night. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.